Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, one and all. And I do have to say thank you to those who came out to the meeting last night. I know it was a sort of an extra burden for you to come along, but we did rejoice to see you. And I hope that something of what we said was a benefit to you. Don't forget to pray for us, for we're speaking again on the same subject on Wednesday and then again on Friday. Now, Luke chapter 18, and we're going to read from verse 10. Just remind ourselves of the content of the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I'm sure that little phrase, with himself, has a lot of meaning. As he prayed, he was on his own. Now, when we pray, and pray aright, we're not on our own. We're speaking with the Lord, and he's there. But when you're a wee bit funny in the head, you talk with yourself. You talk to yourself. And that's what this fellow was doing. He was talking to himself. He was with himself. The Lord wasn't there, and the Lord wasn't listening. And here's what he said, talking to himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, separated, in order that he might speak nice and privately to the Lord, didn't want to be heard by others, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The main difference in these prayers is one is a statement telling God. The other is a request asking God. God doesn't need to be told anything by us, except those things that he requires us to tell him about, our sins, our faults, our wrongdoings. He wants us to confess those. But he doesn't want to hear us boasting about ourselves, as did the Pharisee. What he wants to hear is a prayer similar to the publican's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, we thought a little in our last meeting about the two prayers, and I want to stress with you today how important prayer is. Do you know you can't get to heaven without praying? Heaven has a door on it, and there's a lock on the door, and there's only one key that will open that door, and it's the key of prayer. Key of prayer. We can find salvation only by praying. Those who never pray, well, they'll never get to heaven. Let me read to you from Matthew and the chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, the verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Note that. Everyone that asketh. Doesn't say, and some who ask, get. No. Everyone who asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent or a snake? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? I tell you, it's not only by prayer that we get into heaven, but it's by prayer that we obtain everything that God has for us. In answer to prayer, God pours down upon our heads his richest blessing. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 and the verse 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So important you look at verses like that and split them up. Doesn't say whosoever shall call shall be saved. There's millions throughout the world who call on the saints, they call on Mary, they call on false gods, they call on this, that, and the other thing, but they're not saved. because it's only whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. His name is given unto us as a refuge, as a strong tower, and we can run into it and be saved. When we plead the name of Jesus, there's an answer comes from heaven to us. Well, let's go a little further in our study today, and I want you to notice that how a person prays tells us so much about them. That's what really tells us of the character of a person, how they pray. If they don't pray, well, it tells us a lot. And what it is they say when they're praying, well, that tells us a lot. That's how God gauges you. That's how God gauges men. Not by how they look or even how they act in many ways, but it's how they pray that God decides upon their character. In the case of the Pharisee, we look at his words, there are only a few, but does it not tell us what is written here? Does it not tell us a lot about him? First thing, he thought very little of God. Now, this man strutted about the streets of Jerusalem, and I use that word advisedly. He strutted about like a peacock, showing himself off, because he thought a lot about himself. But he didn't think much about God, despite the fact that he had the name of someone who was very religious. But in truth, he thought very little of God. He had a very low opinion of God. Look at how this prayer that he uttered is recorded here. God, I thank thee. Is that the way to enter God's presence? There's not much by way of love or reverence, respect or fear or awe of God in how he addresses the Lord. God. I always find that most amazing. When we come to pray, the very least we can say as we begin our prayer is, O God. Now, that's only one letter in addition to what this man says, but it makes a great difference. O God. That one little letter, one little expression speaks of our high opinion of God. Our high opinion of God. Now, this man doesn't so address God. He just rushes into his presence and says, God. Then, notice, not only did he not think much about the Lord, but he thought an awful lot about himself. He had a very high opinion of himself. He didn't come into God's presence showing respect and reverence and a sense of the majesty and power of the one to whom he was speaking. Didn't show any of those things. But what a lot he thought of himself. Because using just the word God to begin his prayer, he launches right away into an extolling of himself. I thank thee that I am not as other men. I'm not like anybody else. You know, boys and girls, we are like everyone else. Paul the Apostle wrote words that found their way into the common language of not just our nation, but many nations. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. If there's a difference between me and other men, says Paul, because I was a persecutor of the church, an evil man. But if now there's a difference, it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. We're all the same by nature, sinners on our way to hell, and only the grace of God will change you. And if you have been changed, never forget it wasn't your mommy or your daddy or your Sunday school teacher or your minister or your school teacher or you yourself that changed you. It was the grace of God, the grace of God. And that's what Paul is saying here. But you see, the Pharisee, he had no thought about such a thing. He said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm different. They're extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers, or even this publican. I'm not like him. I'm not like him. Oh, he most certainly wasn't like him, though he didn't understand the difference between himself and the publican. So he doesn't have much an opinion of God, as is evident in how he speaks to God. But how he speaks of himself tells us that he thought an awful lot about himself. An awful lot about himself. But then, When we look at the publican and his prayer, we see a very different attitude. It says that the publican was standing afar off, verse 13. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Now, that says everything about his attitude toward God and who he thought of God as being. He would not as much as lift up his eye. He was so conscious that not only was he not worthy of speaking to God, but he wasn't even worthy to look toward the Lord. He was so nothing, so little, without any value, spiritually speaking. He couldn't lift up his eyes to God. Looking someone in the face oftentimes denotes a boldness and a brazenness. There are people who could tell you a lie, and they look you right in the face as they're telling you a lie. Maybe you've done something like that. Done something wrong in class outside. The teacher comes and says, "Did you do that?" And you look them right in the face and say, "No, wasn't me." That's a bold and brazen thing. No sense of shame or wrongdoing. But this man was filled with a sense of his own nothingness, and he couldn't lift up his eyes to God. So different from the Pharisee. "Oh," he says, "I'm a wonderful person. I can stand before you and speak to you face to face. I'm equal to you. Nothing wrong in my life." Publican came with a very different attitude. He stood afar off. He couldn't lift up his eyes. As much as his eyes. See how it says that? He could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. That's a very simple thing, looking up. It's a minimum movement there. But that man felt so much his own sinfulness, he couldn't even move his eyes toward heaven. There was a burden upon his heart that stopped him even moving his eyes toward heaven. He felt so ashamed of himself. He couldn't look God in the face. And he doesn't think anything about himself, as is demonstrated in his words. It says he smote upon his breast. That's how he started. That's an expression of shame, of self-loathing, self-condemnation, beating yourself because you feel, "I'm worthy of being beaten. I'm guilty." So he beats upon his breast, saying, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." He was a man who had an understanding of himself, that's evident, but he also had an understanding of God. He knew that God was the source of mercy. God be merciful to me. He knew he could ask God for mercy. Listen to me, boys and girls. That is a knowledge that cannot be valued. It is so wonderful. To know that mercy is to be found with God, and that we can approach unto him and ask for mercy because we need it. That's a wonderful, wonderful knowledge. There's millions out there in the world. They know they need mercy. They know that they're not right. They know that there's much sin in them, but they don't know how to get rid of it. Across the nations of the earth, men have their holy days and their feast days and their pilgrimage days. And they go out, and in many countries you'll see them beating themselves till the blood runs out of them, trying to atone for their sins. For they feel that's the only way that I can get rid of my sin. You see, they are, to a slight degree, like the publican. He smote upon his breast because he felt his own guilt and felt he needed to be smitten. He deserved to be smitten. And those across the world who engage in all sorts of acts whereby they afflict themselves with pain. We have it here in our own country. Poor people who climb mountains on their bare feet and cut themselves and injure themselves and weary themselves. All. In order to try and be rid of their sin. They feel their sins. They feel their guilt. But what they don't know, and which the publican knew, we have but to ask God. He felt his sin and he smote himself. But he knew, that's not enough. That'll never get my sins taken away. But I know how I can get my sins taken away. God be merciful to me, boys and girls, what a religion we have. It's a religion that teaches us we have but to hold out our hand to God, and he'll fill it. We don't have to hold out this hand to get and this hand to pay. No! No payment is needed. We but put out our hand and God gives, because that which God gives us has been paid for by the Lord Jesus. Paid for by the Lord Jesus. I hope you realize that. I hope you realize that. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, it says there that he calls himself a sinner. Experts in the Greek language, which was the language in which this gospel was written by Mark. Experts in the Greek language tell us that what this man said could be expressed in our English language as, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He didn't feel himself just one of many, a sinner. But he felt that such was his sin that he stood out, I am the sinner. Paul the Apostle gave expression to something very similar when he said in his epistle to Timothy, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. He felt his sin so much that he felt, I'm bound to be worse than anybody else. I'm the chief of sinners. And this man felt exactly the same. I am the chief of sinners. But you know, boys and girls, God can pardon and will pardon even the chief of sinners, the worst of men. He doesn't say to someone like this publican, no, 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 you're too bad. You're too bad. Do you know? And I think I'm pretty right in saying this. There are worse men in heaven than there are in hell. Now you think about that. There are worse men in heaven than there are in hell, because God saves the worst of sinners. I always think of the thief. Indeed, I read about him today before I came down here in my daily reading, the thief on the cross. Now, I can't see anyone in many ways more sinful than that man. Do you know that man was saved just as he was about to step into hell? He'd lived a life of wickedness and crime. He's now dying on the cross because of his crimes, because of his wickedness. But as he was about to draw his last breath, God said, he prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And in that instant, God saved him. He's in heaven, and he's among the worst of men who ever lived. And I could go back over the scriptures and show you others who were like that. There's many, many, many bad men in heaven. Men who were far worse in their lives than many of those who are in hell. Because God saves the worst of men who call upon him. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And I'll just close, and I suppose I can say I'll close our study with what the Lord has to say about the prayers of these men. And here we conclude. Verse 14, here's the Savior speaking. I tell you this. Man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He left the temple after that little prayer, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He left the temple, the Lord Jesus said he went down to his home justified. That means an awful lot, boys and girls, that little word, justified. I've heard it defined, and I want you to remember this. Justified means that you are, in God's eyes, just as if you never had sinned. Think of that. Just as if you never had sinned. That's what it means to be justified. In the Bible, we read of God blotting out our transgressions so that he can't see them. God covering our sins so that he can't remember them. Won't remember them. The saved person who is trusting in the Lord Jesus, having asked him to save them, is a person who in God's eyes has no sin. There's no sin. Because at the cross, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Oh, I hope you're like the publican today. Not like the Pharisee. Like the publican. In God's eyes, justified. Let's bow together, please, boys and girls, in prayer. Oh God, give understanding
of these grand truths to each person here. May there be something of the spirit of the publican in the children, so that they cannot lift up their eyes unto God, but are conscious of their sin and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Work thy saving grace among the children, I pray of thee. Bless the school today with all its needs. God, come, come, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.